It is time for us to join our good friends at the Lakeville Journal and Millerton News. It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. Once again, we bid hello to our folks on the phone this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We have John and Janet with us, the JJ crew.
Okay. Right.
And we look at the front page of the Lakeville Journal, and the picture is there about abortion is health care, keep abortion safe and legal. The rally drew about 200, and not just women, but men also in that rally that was held.
Yes, there were almost, as you said, 200 people there. And I think what's it's typical of rallies around the country. There will actually be another one tomorrow morning at the high school, organized by some students. And one thing interesting about this story is that Maria Horn reflected back on how a Connecticut attorney back in the 60s was instrumental in fighting for women's rights or family rights, and that would have been, you know, the Griswold case versus Connecticut back when Catherine Rohrbach in North Canaan fought that battle and won.
A lot of interesting ties there. And one thing you can say about our region, we do have people that get out there, and when they don't like what's going on, whether it's locally, statewide, or nationally, they get out there and they protest. And that's in most of the towns here in our tri-state region. So that's what our democracy is all about, is being able to go out there and protest and stand on the corner and say your piece. All right. Interesting story by Patrick Sullivan and on state aid and how state aid has remained towns for towns to kind of be financially stable or as stable as they can be.
Yes, that's true. And the thing that's sort of lurking in here, I think, is that a lot of the money that's going to come flowing down, it actually includes federal pandemic relief funds, and they also extended the gas tax exemption until November. So,
you know, it's funny, John, you say they extended the gas tax exemption. We are now paying the highest amount for gas that we've ever paid. You know, it kind of makes you wonder. Are these gas companies taking advantage of the situation? Because we lopped almost 25 cents off the price of a gallon of gas, supposedly with a tax cut. And now I know I you go by the sign every day, and it's a little different. But the state of Connecticut, I think, over the past 30 days, the price of gas has gone up between 17 and 25 cents a gallon.
That's right. I was at the post office yesterday, and I wished the clerk a nice day, and she fired back that she was very upset about the gas prices.
Well, the advice I give people is don't let your car or truck get below half full, because it's much easier to swallow $35 to $40 than $75 to $80.
Yeah.
It's just good for the psyche. Well, we might as well stay on with finances. And in Falls Village, the finance board wants to keep that school budget cut.
Yes, this was initially viewed by Patrick as a sort of ordinary meeting, but it turned into a little bit of a brouhaha over $20,000. The issue is whether or not the first selectmen really need to go through the finance board to direct use of ARPA funds, and they eventually resolved it, but it took quite a long time.
Yeah, it's well, Sharon had the same problem with this with the school budget and the amount they could cut, and found out that legally they couldn't cut the amount the finance board that they wanted to, but they finally worked it out in the end.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a couple of interesting stories here. I never realized that the name Gypsy Moss was changed to Spongy Moss, but It has been. It's probably because we're a woke society, and the name Gypsy Moth probably insulted people. But we had it bad last year, and I remember hearing at the end of last year, even though we had a very bad infestation and lost a lot of trees, that it was going to lead to the same type of infestation this year. And yeah, there we have it. It is appearing to be probably just as bad as last year.
Yes, in fact, on that name change, it was really the name Gypsy's Moth was suspended in usage last summer at the end, near the middle of the summer, and it took the Entomological Society all the way to March of this year to come up with this new name. And what you say is actually very true. The expectation is this year could be really quite bad. Last year, thousands of oaks were stripped of their leaves down in Sharon. And the only hope here, really, for large-scale mediation or mitigation, I guess, is if we continue to have rain, because there's a fungus that is helped out by the rain, and that actually attacks the larva. And hopefully that will happen. We are, as you pointed out at the beginning, it's still raining.
You know, as I look at the story, there's Lisa Carter, the superintendent of Region 1, sent out a letter because, of course, so many trees on so many campuses. And the northwest corner of Connecticut, by the way, is one of the hardest hit areas in the Northeast right now. And there is an injection they can put in at the base of the trees that will not harm the trees, but will kill spongy moss as they feed on the tree. What I'm wondering is if that injection is available, gosh, the state should have done something earlier than do it now when they're here, if you know what I mean. And I give Lisa Carter a lot of credit because these moss, when they fall from the tree, they can give you a rash on your skin and things like that. So it's a bigger problem than just the trees, but it's also a health problem for students that are at schools.
Right.
All right, John, how about you? Biodiversity. Let's talk about biodiversity.
Well, biodiversity is obviously a very large topic, and it involves, a wide range of issues like climate change and the proliferation of invasive insects, invasive plants. There's another piece to it, which is the expansion of residential construction into wooded areas beyond sort of suburban clusters, which leads to forest fragmentation. And then the other problem is deer browsing, because deer spread the invasive species all over the place. Here in the northwest corner, we're not as badly affected by overpopulation of deer as they are in the southern part of the state, where it's really quite bad news. But what was interesting at the very end of the story is a mention of the kinds of things that they've discovered in deer pellets that they've studied in. It comes all the way to green peppers, petunias, I think, I can't remember exactly, but it was several, I think it was 11,000 individual germinants or species were found in deer pellets.
When you talk about biodiversity and you talk about exactly what you're talking about, the time lapse from when scientists and when people find out what's going on and from when it first starts is really the key to all this. But it's a great lengthy story. We'll go inside and get a much different story from you, John, and that is the fishing derby.
Yes, that was a completely different story. That was a family event that drew 52 young people up to the age of 15 fishing in the pond at the Northwest Connecticut Rod and Gun Club. And it was a beautiful day, very warm. The winner ended up pulling out a 17-inch largemouth. The club stocked the pond actually the exact day before on that Saturday, and so there were some 20-inch trout in there, but I don't think anybody caught one. If Patrick had been there, there would have been some trout coming out.
That's exactly right. Or else he would have been instructing them about how to get those trout coming out
exactly.
of there.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we talked about Falls Village once in the school budget, and the housing battle in Falls Village is continuing as they had a meeting. And once again, I think your headline explains it perfectly, mixed reactions at the housing hearings. There's still support, but there's also concern from the public over this.
Well, and I think the story in Deb Alexenis reporting it, she tried to clarify or at least cover the discussion that was an attempt to clarify what is the town's liability or responsibility here. And because a lot of the taxpayers who were there, and I think there were something like 50 people, were concerned about what is the town's, you know, liability. And but there is, as we all know, a strong need for this kind of housing. There were people who and attended who were young, new, out-of-college workers who want to stay in Falls Village but have to live with their parents.
Yeah, it's not only tough for the young people. It's I'm very lucky. I found a rental 12 years ago that I'm still at. I'm safe in, and it's eminently affordable, and it's a really nice house. It's really hard for people, workforce people, who want to work in this area. They have to live in Torrington or Winston, and they have to travel great distances just to work at stores in this area.
That's right. There was a quote from an administrator, Kevin O'Connell, at the CEO of Gear Village, saying that he could hire 30, you know, nurses or LPNs right now, but the problem is finding housing. And so some of these folks are earning, you know, up 80 or 90,000 and still can't find housing.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's crazy. Well, some of the good news out of Salisbury, we talked about this a while ago, where they wanted to put up these flashing signs at the crosswalks and they couldn't. State wouldn't allow them. But out of the blue, Curtis Rand tells us that, wow, yep, they're going to be able to put up the signs they want to put up.
Right, and they're doing it. I haven't seen it yet. I haven't driven past, but it just started. So they're solar powered as well, which is interesting.
Yeah, and it's flashing beacons the way that they already had them in Lakeville, and they're now going to be in Salisbury, which is really helpful for pedestrians and drivers.
And you know what? They're not. They don't take away from the quaintness of the town. They really function so much better than anything else that I've seen, where people will slow down with them.
Right. Yeah. So it's great that they're just happening. It's going to take 2 to 3 weeks, so don't be annoyed because it's going to make life better.
Well, I look at the obituaries this week, and I'm just a dumbstruck. Founded a good friend, Betty Snyder, passed away in Sharon. Donald Ross passed away. Everybody knows Bill Flint, of course. I mean, Susie Rundle. I mean, a lot of well-known people in community in the various communities have passed away recently. And this is I don't know. It's very depressing to look at, to see some of the great people that we've had around here pass away. And that doesn't even include over in New York State, Ron Oskowski, him passing away. So if people want more information on that, that's on the obituary pages. I want to go to the sports section. You've got Patrick Sullivan's Tangled Lines, but also Hunter Lyle with the homestand getting off to a rocky start for Housatonic.
Yes, Hunter's done a beautiful job with the photography here. Very nice action photos. What's also great is you can see in the background green. It's so green now. The green has just popped out in our corner, neck of the woods the last couple of days. But this is really kind of a wrap-up of where the Housy team stands, the baseball team stands in its final home stand in the next few games. And despite playing at home, they're still struggling a little bit to get out of their loss pattern.
Let's go on to the editorial page before we head over to Compass. Janet, main editorial, A Legacy of Fighting for Justice, and that's Donald Ross who I was talking about as well.
That's right. This is a tribute to Donald Ross, who served many roles in this community, and you'll see in two appreciations we have, of some of his influence within our Lakeville-Salisbury area, but for the Lakeville Journal, he had a very special place in that, and we describe it here. Please do give it a read so you can see what one person can do to make a difference. He definitely, in 2019, gave Cynthia Hoxwinder and I the confidence to move forward and take a different approach to the model for community newspapering. And I firmly believe that it's because he saw the world in a different way, and it goes all the way back to being a Nader Raider. And so we talk about that. We have a quote from Ralph Nader. Ralph Nader is the one who called us on Saturday morning to let us know Donald had passed away. And we put together this editorial to let our readers know what he did to keep the papers going. And he was so committed, and he did this sort of action-oriented living from the time, he worked with Nader and kept on believing in all of these issues that needed addressing in our society, and just did so much over his life.
Taking a look at some of the letters just on the first page, you've got a nice letter from Jeanette Weber about the symposium that was held at Troutbeck, also a flawed plan at Sherrod Hospital, inherent rights of citizenship. Once again, your letter is going across the whole spectrum of the news.
That's right. Don't miss Dr. David Kirsch's letter about the flawed plan at Sharon Hospital. He is definitely using this opportunity to reach out and look for better communication between the doctors and the hospital board and Nuvance. And certainly they should take him up on it, because who knows better what we need for healthcare in this region than doctors who have been here and know the community.
And your letters go on to being, once again, the right for life, abortion, and also historical memories. But a couple of great, once again, viewpoint articles. Before Roe versus Wade, there was Griswold versus Connecticut. That's the main one. That's a very interesting read.
It really is, and this is from Dick Ollis, and he lived it. And, you know, this is the one that Catherine Roback, the attorney from Canaan, was so involved with, and a fascinating history, so you can see what happened in Connecticut before 1973, when the Roe v. Wade decision was made. And, you know, it wasn't that long before. It was really part of a changing history. And so looking back can give us some perspective. Dick is great at doing that for us.
You know, I sit here at 69, Janet, and John and I, I marvel at some things that when I was growing up as a young child and as a teenager, that I just took for granted that were going to be around for a long time. One was the Berlin Wall. I was very happy but amazed when it came down. But Roe versus Wade, it's something that I just never, ever, ever thought, especially after this length of time, would be in jeopardy. It just simply, as someone who's, like I said, grew up and as a teenager, it became law, and now here I am at 69. It's almost like it's like a step back in time.
Right, a step back in time to, the 1930s
yep.
or 50s.
Yep.
50s. But after a lot of hard work was done for the rights of women and men to make their own decisions about their lives. And so don't miss Michael Motion's letter about the inherent rights of citizenship on this. It's really thoughtful and really well laid out about the Supreme Court looking forward to nullifying Roe v. Wade.
All right, let us move on to Compass, because once again, as I was mentioning before I came on, we are opening up like a flower in the springtime again, finally after 2 years, and we have just such a wide range of different venues and things we can now go with our friends and neighbors.
That's right, and so, you know, get out there and do them. Of course, course, do what you feel safe doing and wear masks if you feel better doing that and do not feel strange about that. Much better to get out there and do things. So we have, and you can do things outdoors now that the summer is coming and, you know, the weather's getting better. So there's an outdoor exhibition of Gummer sculpture at the Five Points Arts Center in Torrington. Donald Gummer has really fascinating sculptures that often defy gravity. So go and take a walk around those grounds, which used to be UConn Torrington. It's a great use of those grounds, and we should greatly appreciate that that is here. We have Cynthia talking about a book on dollhouses that Inga Haeckel has worked on in order to benefit the Little Guild Animal Shelter. So give that a read and take part in the Great Country Mutt Show that's coming up Sunday, June 5th, which is always so much fun.
And you know what? I have to give kudos. The new ownership partnership at Lime Rock has really, even though Lime Rock always was open for nonprofits to come in and do things, they've really opened it up in a big way with Trade Secrets and now this Mutt Show. And they have more things that they're doing to open up the park to raise funds for various nonprofits. They're doing a great job to start off the season.
That's right. And what a difference for Trade Secrets. So spacious, so much parking that was manageable, and wonderful walking area. With you could have distancing, actually, in a way that just couldn't happen previously at the previous location, which was also beautiful, but, boy, just fantastic. And so Cynthia actually is going to have a story on Trade Secrets next week in Compass. We also have calendar with all kinds of things to do all around the area, so do get out and do them. And a lively and lovely history of colonial America, which the photos alone of these watercolors that Adam Van Doren of Cornwall did are just incredible. And so do give this a read and a good look.
And, of course, in the Trinity Gallery, the art show is back once again. It's the 8th annual, but there's very few restrictions on this. And like you say, Janet, if people want to wear a mask when they go to these things, wear a mask. If people don't want to wear a mask, let's not make fun of one another or judge one another. Let's just do what we all have to do to make our life more normal.
That's right. And, we can't judge one another, and especially after 2 years of pandemic, we can't judge one another and understand one another's lives completely just at a glance. So, yeah, let's accept one another.
And let's not forget Towns and Villages, the insert.
Which is just, we love this publication each year that we do. It's a keeper. It gives you all the resource information for each of the towns we cover on both sides of the state line, Connecticut and New York. This year, the theme is affordable housing. As we all know, we talk about it every week, one way or another. And it hasn't helped that in the past couple of years, real estate sales have been at historic high levels. The pandemic has created this situation, and we examine the impact of it and the challenges created for people who live and work here. And so each town has its own challenges, but many are similar. And so do give it a read and become aware of what's happening in your town and the town surrounding you, because we're all interrelated.
All right, some of the stories you'll find in this week's Lakeville Journal and, of course, the Millerton News. You can find both those papers online, tricornernews.com, and also at your newsstands, and you can get home delivery. John and Janet, thanks for joining us again today. Have a great day. Enjoy what's left of today, but you'll really enjoy the next couple of days into the weekend when it's going to feel like summer.
Something to look forward to. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you.
Take care. That is this weekend, the Lakeville Journal. Once again, you can find the Lakeville Journal at tricornernews.com on the web.